Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time to play out loud. It's the Tony Wayne Show.
Packed edition of the Tony Lane Show. It is the truly fabulous Tony Lane, along with Maris, as we welcome you to episode 357 of the Tony Lane Show. And of course, reminding you to log on to TonyLaneShow.com. There you can hear the archives. You can hear all of the episodes in all of their majestic glory. And of course, you can log on to blogtalkradio.com/TonyLaneShow. That's the destination to hear the show live. And, of course, subscribe to the show on iTunes and Google Play that way. Every time new episodes are published, they will automatically go to the device of your choice, like magic, easy peasy, quite a wonderful thing. On Clash of the Champions weekend, quite an interesting weekend in wrestling, to say the least. In pop culture, too. I was just looking at some of the news skits, and I can't believe, I mean, you know about how basically Omarosa got removed from her position at the White House, which nobody knows what her position was to begin with. And Robin Wright from ABC actually bifeliciated her, which I was like, whoa, that was just too funny. I was just looking at the video and I'm like, oh shit, you know, it's like a big diss.
It I don't get what she did to the begin with.
Nobody knows what
she did. Like, you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Eventually it was going to come.
I mean, they have besmirched the office of the presidency.
Besmirched.
So much. I mean, I don't think that the office could get any lower than what it is.
Well, you did hear The Rock wants to run, right?
Yeah, I did hear that. Now he's talking a potential run in 2024. You never know now.
I'll tell you what. I bet you he's great on the mic.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Every State of the Union would be an event.
Yeah. Yeah, he certainly has a way with words. I wonder if he would talk in the third person.
He's the people's president.
Yeah.
It sounds like some North Korean thing. I'm the people's dictator.
That would be too funny. But, so, interesting week, as we said, in the world of sports entertainment and combat sports alike. Actually, probably one of the last really big weekends. This is the last pay-per-view of the year for WWE with the Clash of the Champions, which is actually in progress as we speak. It's just underway, so we will not have full results when we finish up. But
yeah, I'm so used to us going on later, and it's like, oh, let's go through the results, and it's like, no, it just started.
Right. On Friday, there was a pay-per-view from Ring of Honor as they did their final battle event, which took place at the Hammerstein Ballroom in NYC. It is their biggest show of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most noteworthy thing is a new Ring of Honor champion was crowned. Dalton Castle, with the boys, of course, defeated Cody Rhodes and his lovely wife, Brandi Rhodes. Dalton Castle's your new ROH World Champion, which that was a shock. I didn't think they would let him win that title and let him be the world champion, but he's like been a staple in Ring of Honor for quite some time, and he's always super over, you know, with that whole entrance with the cape and the boys fanning him and all that shit. And I actually got retweeted by the boys because I was at a Ring of Honor taping, and I like took a video of when he raises the peacock cape sort of thing and the boys fanning him and all that shit, and the crowd goes nuts every time that happens.
Oh, hell yeah.
And you know, so I tweeted that video, and both of the boys retweeted me.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. So congratulations there, Dalton Castle, your brand-new Ring of Honor champion. You know, some other noteworthy matches, I guess the Young Bucks and Adam Page, they call themselves the Hung Bucks. And they retain the ROH six-man tag team championship over Flip Gordon, Titan, and Dragon Lee. Now, the Young Bucks, of course, probably the hottest act in professional wrestling today.
I would say so.
I mean, you know, their Bullet Club merchandise flies off the shelves at Hot Topic.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing the shit without the WWE machine.
Yeah, it's like no multi-million-dollar marketing machine behind them. But it's great. Good for them.
And Vinnie Mac is clearly pissed.
Oh,
which is why he said the cease and desist over the hand gesture, the too sweet hand gesture. And
what?
Told them that they can't do that too sweet hand gesture because it's copywritten by the WWE trademark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I guess when they purchased WCW and the NWO, you know, Kevin Nash got all these to do the too sweet thing. And when
yeah.
they purchased it, they own all those intellectual properties. So now you can't hold your hand in that too sweet gesture. Which, in my opinion, Matt and Nick Jackson are probably putting their hand in another position to Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
You know,
you
with the one with their third finger sticking up, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
But, I mean, have you ever heard of something so silly that you can't put your hand in a certain position because it's trademarked?
I can 100% see Vince McMahon doing that. 100%.
And it's all because he's hating. Like, if they...
Yeah.
did not have merchandise that is like selling like crazy at Hot Topic and actually have a cool buzz around them, which is something that WWE doesn't really have now. Like outside of the hardcore wrestling fans, nobody's going to really buy WWE merchandise now. It's not like back in the Attitude Era where everybody wore Austin 316 or The Rock shirts or whatever. It's basically wrestling fans are the only ones that are going to wear it now.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. I mean, this Bullet Club shit, people are buying it because it's cool. And Vinnie Mac is kind of like, shit, we don't have anything that's cool like that.
Well, that's what happens. Hey, I mean, listen, they cornered themselves. They did it to themselves.
WWE.
Yes.
True. True, and I think
they really did.
They're preventing guys from getting over in a lot of ways.
They are. They write stupid storylines. They don't work necessarily to everybody's strengths. If you're good, they shove you to the bottom. If you're bad or that you have a certain look, they want you at the top. It doesn't work like that. It's like you need to let people flourish.
And they seem to put you in a spot and you can't get past that spot.
Right.
Regardless of how good you are.
Right.
You know, and a perfect example would be, you know, a guy that I've been tooting his horn for several years, Cesaro.
Yeah.
Where Cesaro has all the tools to be a main event player.
Oh, absolutely.
Yet, in Vince's mind, because he's, as he put it, quote, too Swiss, he's never going to be the main event.
Too Swiss. I love that. Like, what is too Swiss? Explain that to me. I need to understand this. Does he have, like, holes in him? Like Swiss cheese?
Like,
too Swiss? Like,
yeah,
what?
Maybe that's it. Who knows?
Come into Vince's room in the middle of the night and yodel and wake him up? Like, what's too Swiss?
Right. I don't think anybody really knows what the hell that means. But he seems to have put him in a certain level, and that's it. You're never going to get beyond that. Whereas Roman Reigns, you know, in the reverse, where he sees Roman Reigns as a main eventer, and regardless of how much the people reject him, he still keeps pushing him and giving him his big WrestleMania moments. And now, if what most people are predicting is true, this upcoming WrestleMania would be his fourth WrestleMania main event in a row, which now you're getting into, like, Hulk Hogan territory.
Yeah.
Like, I mean...
he's not Hulk Hogan.
Right. I mean, call Hulk Hogan a bastard or whatever, and he is. But
well, he is,
you gotta give
but...
Hogan credit where credit is due.
Well,
he
yeah.
was a huge draw.
That's
and
the thing.
He was the star of those first, what, seven, eight damn WrestleManias? He was the star.
Yeah, like they don't have that caliber of star. Like, that's the problem. They're trying to make one, and it doesn't work like that.
Right. Even
like
though...
Hulk had that something that people latched on to. It's like they just don't have anybody like that right now. That at least is, you know, higher up in, I guess, the scheme of things there. Whereas some of the lower guys are great.
Right. Right. There's no Hogan, no Austin, no Rock.
No.
That
no Edge.
Big of a draw.
No. Yeah, there's no one.
So, you know, but Roman Reigns, to main event that many damn WrestleManias in a row, that's Dolph Ziggler won? What the fuck?
I didn't want to say anything.
And he was the guy
that you
wrote
off.
Most people wrote off. Like, if you bet on this, and you know the bookies, they put their odds up, you would actually have won a lot of fucking money if you bet on Dolph Ziggler.
Yes, indeed.
He was the one that most people thought was going to lose.
Listen, he deserves it. Like, I always say this, he's a good worker and he's put his time in. They need to, I don't know, do something with him, get him a little better on the mic. You know, I don't know. But he deserves it. He's not bad. Give him a manager.
I think
Rude
would have been better.
Rude's good too, though. But Rude will have his time.
Because
you know
they'll
push him.
They better hurry. You know, he's already 40. They better hurry. Like, these guys, their window is very small. You know?
Yes.
They got, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5 years tops to really be able to compete at a high level.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, but you never know. I mean, look at somebody like Jericho. Jericho's, what, 47, 48, and he's still one of the best in the world.
He still does everything.
Yeah. Yeah, so you never know. You never know. I mean, age is just a number.
Yes, it is, as long as you take care of yourself.
Absolutely. Another big thing that came out of Ring of Honor, and we thought it's probably about time, but for the first time ever, coming up in 2018, they will crown the very first Ring of Honor Women of Honor champion.
Ah, very good.
So finally they will have a women's champion, and this will give a lot of the non-WWE women another championship, perhaps, to vibe for. including my girl Tennille, the artist formerly known as Gemma. You know, no word if she's going to go with Ring Honor or where she's going to go. But that's good. So they're going to have a 16-woman tournament to determine the first ever Women of Honor champion. Their Women of Honor matches have always been part of their YouTube channel, and who knows, maybe now they're going to probably put the matches on TV.
That would be good.
They usually do very well on YouTube. They're usually amongst the most viewed videos on the Ring of Honor YouTube channel, so the time was right. The roster is big enough that...
The mood is right.
Right. It's time to pull the trigger. I mean, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, we know there's a lot of good female performers there in Ring of Honor, like Deonna Purrazzo, who's right here from Jersey, and Kelly Klein, and Solo Darlin, and all of them that are still there. Brandi Rhodes is wrestling also, you know, and when her husband just lost the world title. Mandy Leon, the exotic goddess. She's so damn pretty, though, that damn Mandy Leon.
She is.
When I go to those Ring of Honor shows, like, and she was, you know, she's always there, you know, because she was actually trained in the Ring of Honor dojos. She's always, even before she wrestled, she would be like an announcer or whatever. And now,
right.
And when you look at this woman in person, you're just like, God damn, that's a beautiful woman. Like, she's just striking.
Beautiful,
stunning.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they would give her the belt since she's like their homegrown talent. And she's obviously like their most over one. I wouldn't say she's like a great wrestler, though.
Well, I mean, no. But, you know, that's a possibility. At least start it on the homegrown girl and then, you know, work on it from there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thought. And I'm wondering, are they going to bring some women from around the world to be in the tournament, or are they going to pretty much go with the women that they have there? Because 16 women, that's a pretty big tournament.
That is a big tournament.
When you look at most of these women's divisions, they're not that big.
No, not at all.
So
eight people, maybe.
Right, right. So I'm definitely looking forward to that, and should definitely be some good stuff in 2018 as they crown the first ever Women of Honor champion. Now, there's also more women's wrestling stuff. A lot of women's wrestling stuff this week. As finally on Impact Wrestling, a brand new Knockouts champion was crowned. And more controversy there than Impact. As always, Impact
is always the train wreck that we just watch in slow motion.
We are going to bet will Impact make it out of 2019 or 2018?
Oh. Well, you know.
They always somehow make it, though.
That's what I was about to say. It's always we count them out, and then it's like, hey, we're back. And it's like, holy shit.
So, Laurel Van Ness, also known as Chelsea Green, also known as Zack Ryder's real-life girlfriend, defeated Rosemary on this week's edition of Impact Wrestling to become the Knockouts champion. Now, two things were kind of fucked up. A, it was WWE week on USA. So, you know, we had discussed that on our last episode, how NXT played on USA for the first time, and so on. Thursday night, the Tribute to the Troops aired on USA, which was opposite Impact. And boy, did Impact get killed in the ring.
Yeah.
Got its lowest rating ever. Well, Tribute to the Troops got about a million and a half viewers. Impact Wrestling got a measly 161,000 viewers.
Wow.
Their lowest rating ever.
Wow. Holy crap.
even lower than their Thanksgiving episode.
Wow. That's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the worst. And, I mean, at their peak earlier in the year, they were actually getting over 300,000. And now we're talking almost a third of the audience gone. It may just be because they were against WWE that night. Maybe their
audience
overturned.
That's always a possibility. A lot of people do watch that tribute to the troops. A
right.
lot of people. That's one of their more popular things.
So most people didn't even see this Impact episode. At least they didn't see it live. They may have DVR'd it or whatever. But then, now the controversy. As we said, Laurel Van Ness wins the championship, but as most people know, they did all their TV tapings for the rest of the year after they did the Bound for Glory pay-per-view last month, where they filmed like, you know, 8, 9, 10 episodes, whatever it was, in a row. So Laurel Van Ness won this belt way back in early November, even though it just played on TV now.
Right. But we knew that. And we actually discussed that on the show back then.
But shortly after winning the championship, she asked for her release and wants to leave. And apparently they didn't know that she wanted to leave and scripted her to win the championship. And we don't know whether she's going to officially lose the belt or not. Now, I would assume she doesn't want to burn any bridges and she would do the right thing and lose the championship before she left.
Yeah, I would assume.
And it seems like she probably does have a decent relationship with Anthem and Impact Wrestling because, you know, I follow her on social media and stuff, and she did tweet that she won the title on Thursday night, which showed that she's going along with the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're on bad terms, you probably wouldn't even acknowledge it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So I would assume she's going to do the right thing and stick around until the next set of TV tapings to drop the belt. But, you know, she clearly wants to move on. And perhaps, you know, as I mentioned, she is dating Zack Ryder. So maybe her coming to WWE. She has appeared on WWE before.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's possible.
So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But it's just another not good week for Impact.
No.
And it seems like they just pile on and on and on, one after another.
Well, like I said, they always seem to make it out in the end. It's the slow motion train wreck.
Right. That somehow always seems to keep on chugging along. Somehow.
Yep, the little train that could.
I mean, and at a time back in their TNA days, they were a good alternative to WWE for a while.
Yes. Yes, they were.
I mean, and there was a time when they were getting over 1 million people watching Impact every week when they were on Spike. My, how things have changed.
Yes, how things have drastically changed.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it makes you wonder, will Ring of Honor be that second biggest non-WWE company? I don't think anybody's going to beat WWE anytime soon.
I don't think that. New Japan may boost up a little bit more, too.
Yeah, New Japan is an option that could do something. But I don't think that anybody's going to really be able to compete with WWE on the level that, like, WCW did back in the Monday Night Wars era. I think those days are gone. But, you know, you can have a very successful number two.
Yeah, Yeah, it should be interesting. Again, I'm interested to see how it goes, because if Impact really does drop off, there is going to be a void there. And then it's going to be, you know, who can vie for it? I mean, you know, we'll see. It's a struggle. It's a struggle to get ratings, period. So, you know,
right.
We'll see. May the best man win, or the best show win.
Right. As more options become available, we know WWE is going to do, starting next month, that thing on Facebook, the Mixed Challenge, where it's going to be mixed tag team tournament.
Yes.
Both male and female superstars from both Raw and SmackDown competing in this 16-team tournament that's exclusive to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be very unique. And it's going to be live every Tuesday after SmackDown and before 205 Live. I'm wondering how many people are going to watch that.
I have no idea.
But as they explore more different things and ways of watching content, you know, whether it be streaming or watching a show live or DVR, you're right. There's so many choices that ratings do suffer. Case in point, this past weekend's UFC on Fox show also did terrible in the ratings, drawing a mere 1.78 million viewers compared to them a year ago pulling 2.69 million viewers.
Damn.
A UFC on Fox event in the same period. Now, that one a year ago was headlined by Paige Van Zandt and Michelle Waterson. And this one was headlined by Rafael Dos Santos and Robbie Lawler. So,
That was a hell of a fight, man. There were some good fights.
I only saw the main event.
Yeah, there were some good fights.
Dos Anjos won, right?
Yeah, Dos Anjos.
Yeah, I kicked
the crap out of Lawler's legs. The whole time, like, it was very back and forth, you know, all five rounds, but like towards the end you could tell how much damage was done to Lawler's leg. It was bruised up, it was swelling. I think one of them broke their hand. It's like it was a fight.
They knew they were in a fight, basically.
Oh yeah.
And so I mean, it's tough getting good ratings now.
It is. It really is.
Especially during the holidays. This is a fucked up month to...
It is tough. It really is tough. So many people are doing so many other things, and everybody's all stressed out, and everybody's working all these extra hours. It's like no one's home.
Right. And, like, this weekend was, like, pro wrestling, MMA, like, it was like overload this week. There was a lot of fucking wrestling content.
But the only problem is it's the weekend before Christmas. Like,
right.
If you want any chance to get any type of Christmas shopping or get anything that you think you might want for something, like, this was the weekend to go.
Right.
Because next weekend, Christmas is Sunday. It's like...
Or Monday.
Well, yeah, but Christmas Eve is on Sunday, and a lot of people still have to work.
True.
So, you know, it's a tough weekend. It's a real tough weekend.
It is. And all of them put their wares out all at once. And even during that, and part of the reason why I only saw the main event of the UFC show is because there was... pay-per-view from Shine Wrestling on too, which is the women's independent scene. And I had watched that pay-per-view on the Fight TV app, which is a very nifty thing. If you ever use the Fight app, it's pretty damn cool, actually. Gives you a lot of content. A lot of wrestling and MMA and boxing content. I think Jim Ross is like a partner on it.
Nice.
But it's really cool. Like you can start playing it like on your tablet or phone or whatever, and then you can just like beam it to any smart device that you have that's on the same network. So it's pretty cool. So like you got a smart TV, you don't even have to do any like configuration or anything. Like you can just start playing it and then tell it to play on the TV and it'll start playing on the TV. Like it's really cool how it works.
Oh, that's nice.
So I was checking out the Shine 47 event, and then when that ended, I caught the tail end of the UFC event. Matter of fact, I even forgot UFC was on until it was over, and then I'm like, oh shit, UFC's on. And then I kind of did catch the main event. I saw most of the main event, I would say. And that was a free show. See, these were my type of shows, the free ones.
Yes. Well, it gets crazy with all the pay-per-views. It's like, I don't know where people are getting this money or where they think people are getting all this money from.
Right. And then, I guess they're not going to raise them for next year. I hope not.
I hope not.
I mean, WWE, I know, raised their ticket prices for, you know, live events.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not much, but a couple of dollars here or there. But it fucking adds up. Especially when you don't have, like, too many big draws. And not
true.
A lot of people want to see.
That's true.
Yeah. That's why a lot of those SmackDown shows, if you notice, like, the weird camera angles they've been doing, to hide, the crowd's not full.
Yeah, that's true. They do. You do notice when the crowd's not full, they have those weird angles. You're like, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah, and in particular, SmackDown had struggled more than Raw as far as ticket sales. Which, you know, I like the SmackDown brand. This is a SmackDown show, as a matter of fact.
That's true. It's a SmackDown show. I mean, they used to push Raw so much that people still consider Raw like the flagship show and like SmackDown the secondary show, even though SmackDown's the better content now.
I would agree. It always kind of had that sort of B-show connotation.
Yeah, they always made it seem like it's like, it's just SmackDown. It's not Raw.
Right. Right. And Raw has been around forever. I mean, we know the 25th anniversary of Raw is coming up in, January 25th.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming up pretty quick. It's going to be a big show where they're going to simulcast from two locations that night, both emanating from New York City, at the Barclay Center in Brooklyn, as well as the Manhattan Center, which was the original home of Monday Night Raw when it started way back in January of 1993. So that is going to be a very interesting show, to say the least. 25 years of Monday Night Raw.
I'm interested to see what they do. You know they're going to try to go all out.
Oh, yeah, indeed. I never thought it would last 25 years. I mean, it was the show, though. I mean, I remember when Monday Night Raw was starting, I mean, just showing my age. Because of course, primetime wrestling was on USA on Monday
right.
Night. And that was a studio show for many years hosted by the late, great combination of Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Oh,
and then,
so good.
When Heenan left, it turned into more of a round table thing with Vince McMahon and Mr. Perfect and, you know, a few other people. I forget everybody who was on it. And it would basically be a studio show, and then they would show matches that they taped at various house shows around the country, and then, like, some matches that they would also tape during their Superstars and Wrestling Challenge TV tapings.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be – you would get more – main event level matches. Like on Superstars and Challenge back in the 80s, you primarily had like enhancement matches where it would be the superstar versus, you know, like Terry Gibbs or Steve Lombardi or whatever, and they would get beat every week. And, you know, we all see the squash matches that they used to do back in the day, which I think they should bring those back to a certain degree. Because at least it made everybody look strong.
True.
Whereas when you're doing superstar versus superstar every week, somebody had to lose. And it makes some people never really appear strong.
Right.
You know. So, but you know, on primetime wrestling, you would get more superstar versus superstar matches. And then I remember the one day, you know, and this is pre-internet and all that shit, and Vinnie Mac is on the show, and he goes, oh, this is the last week of primetime wrestling. And I was just like, oh, shit, the last week of primetime wrestling. Like, premiering next week, we are going to have a new live show, Monday Night Raw, debuting. And I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What is Monday Night Raw?
Yep. Oh,
like,
what a small arena that was in, too, the first episode.
And I was like, who would name a show Monday Night Raw? What does that even mean?
That's Vinnie Mac.
And it was, you know, to emphasize that anything could happen and that it was going to be a Raw sort of unproduced show because it was live and anything could happen, the unexpected could happen. And, it was, I mean, you can go back and watch the first episode of Monday Night Raw on the network now. You know, it is what it is. You got to remember the time when it happened also because there's a lot of gimmicks and stuff. Like, I think Max Moon was on the first episode. You know, and if you remember Max Moon, that was one of the worst gimmicks ever. I believe it was Paul Diamond was the guy under the mask. But if I remember correctly, let me make sure before I go spouting out false information. No, Max Moon was Conan. What? So who the fuck was Paul Diamond? Paul Diamond was somebody.
I don't remember.
He was one of those mass guys. Trying to see who the fuck was Paul Diamond.
Paul Diamond.
He was Max Moon too. Oh, wow. So they had two Max Moons.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Kind of like Doink. How there were multiple people who played Doink.
Well, that works.
Yeah. So, if I recall correctly, the Paul Diamond Max Moon was the one that wrestled on the first episode of Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
I could be mistaken, but if I recall correctly, I believe that is the case. Yes, he wrestled Shawn Michaels on the very first Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
Yeah. So I see my memory served me correct. I see. I knew
there
I wasn't
you,
totally crazy.
You're on point.
I'm halfway crazy, not totally.
Close enough.
Right. And so he and Shawn Michaels, they used to be partners. Way before Shawn Michaels started teaming up with Marty Jannetty as the Midnight Rockers, him and Paul Diamond were a tag team called American Force. And then Paul Diamond started teaming up with Pat Tanaka's Bad Company, and they feuded with the Midnight Rockers over the AWA Tag Team Championship. See that? All this information here. You see that?
Yep.
Bam. But, yeah, so that should be fun. 25 years later, though, who would have thought?
It'd still be around.
Exactly. We saw a lot of changes over the years, you know, from the Monday Night Raw of old to Raw is War during the Attitude Era and then back to Monday Night Raw again. And it's been a hell of a ride. For 25
years. It has.
Seen them switch networks and go to TNN and then TNN became Spike, and then back to USA, and, you know, go to 3 hours, which is still too long.
It is too long. But, it really is.
But we've seen a lot of changes there. So, so that'll be something coming up next month, the 25th anniversary of Monday Night Raw. Also, the Royal Rumble, of course, coming up next month as well. So we're starting to see the seeds planted for Royal Rumble and ultimately what will happen at WrestleMania. And now it looks like the main event, or at least the Universal Championship match at Royal Rumble, looks like it's going to be a triple threat with Brock Lesnar defending against Braun Strowman and Kane.
All right. I'm down. Those are all big enough.
Now, this is after they decided, or Vinnie Mac decided, that Finn Balor is not main event material. Because it's supposed to be Finn Balor.
Yeah, don't get me started on that, please.
But once again, this goes to our point that Vinnie Mac sees certain people at a certain level, and he doesn't see you beyond that. There's like a legit glass ceiling in WWE.
Oh, there is. And it's not like Finn Balor can't do it at all. Finn Balor's great. So it's like, what are you doing, dude? Come on.
And a lot of people would argue that he's better than Roman Reigns.
Oh, he is. He is. That's not even an argument. Come on now.
Now, he is a lot smaller than Brock Lesnar.
He's much smaller.
So it would be difficult to make it believable that he could beat Brock Lesnar. I mean, but they've done it
before. It can be done. It can be done.
I mean, you saw how well Bret Hart did with Diesel and
Absolutely.
How believable that was. And,
absolutely.
You know, the late, great Eddie Guerrero with Brock Lesnar when he won the championship from Brock Lesnar.
I mean, it can be done. There's no excuses. It can be done. And
right.
They've done it before.
But I guess he doesn't see Finn Balor on the level of a Bret Hart or an Eddie Guerrero.
That's ridiculous.
I agree. I think he's a phenomenal talent. And, I mean, he is the first ever Universal Champion. Of course, we know he got injured shortly after winning the title. And he's never gotten a rematch for that belt.
No, he hasn't.
Like, how the fuck do you never lose a belt by pin or submission, and you never even get your so-called contractual rematch that everybody gets? You just never get one, and they never even – he's not even close to getting a rematch.
I mean, this is Vince McMahon. What do you expect?
Yeah.
If he doesn't like you, or he doesn't think you're over, or you're too small, you're screwed. That's it.
Now, also, there's been some rumors of Vinnie Mac, who could be even more crazier than we thought in his old age, as there are rumors that have been circulating this just over the weekend that Vinnie Mac is contemplating restarting the XFL, but he would do so with his own money and would not be a part of, you know, World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated, because obviously they'd be fearful that the stock
would drop. Yeah.
And now I think it's way overpriced at the moment. It's way overvalued. The stock is like at $31 and shit.
Oof.
It's at an all-time high. I wish I would have fucking got in on it when it was like $14. And I don't know, nothing justifies the $31 price of the
stock. No, it really doesn't.
But you talk about it like going in the toilet, you let him start seriously talking about starting the XFL again, and it'll be back down to $14 in no time. Which I think is why Vinnie Mac wisely plans to not do it under that corporation. Apparently, he's doing it with his own money, starting a separate entity that would run this proposed football league, whether it be called the XFL or whatever. I don't know. Word is that WWE did trademark the XFL name recently.
Hmm.
I'm surprised that they didn't have it already trademarked.
Yeah, that's. I could have swore that they would have had it, but I guess not.
I mean, they got a fucking stupid hand gesture trademark.
Trademarked, yeah.
So why wouldn't he have the XFL?
No idea.
Now, a lot of people are calling Vince possibly crazy for doing this again after it didn't work the first time. Why would you do it again? But on that same token, it's a different world than it was back then.
True.
And, you know, we're talking about them doing the thing on Facebook. You know, there's a bunch of streaming services and more popping up every fucking week where there could be an outlet for it. Because one thing that everyone has in common as all of these different outlets come to being here is everybody needs content. They need new original content.
Yes.
And like it or not, sports is a really good entity
content
to have.
Content creator.
It is. And it's almost Teflon in the fact that it's live. So you kind of have to watch it to really know. I mean, like, I know people who do, like, DVR football games and basketball games and stuff, but I can't do that personally because, like, once I know who fucking won the game, I don't really care to watch. I can watch the fucking highlights on the ESPN and, you know, I can give a shit once I find out who won. But some people will sit there and DVR a game and watch the whole fucking game later.
Yes, they will. They're crazy, but they will.
But the fact that it's live, to me, almost makes it DVR proof to a certain degree, even though people do it, as I mentioned. But most people, with a sporting event, you want to see it as it happens. And that's one thing that's very valuable to all of these entities as they pop up all over the place and everybody tries to get content. We're starting to see, you know, everybody scramble to start these stupid streaming services all over the place. You know, Disney talking about starting their own, and now fucking DC talking about starting their own. And I mean, it's like they're coming out the woodwork. Like, soon there's going to be fucking 90 million streaming services.
Of course there is. That's where it's going to go.
Which, then they're going to be back in the same fucking boat again that they're trying to get away from by getting away from, like, pay TV providers. Because now instead of paying one company, like, $80 a month, you're paying fucking 10 companies. Still, what would total up to about $80 a month when you pay everybody, you know? So it's kind of stupid, except instead of paying one person, you're paying 10 people.
That's true.
So it's like it's getting worse with this with all these streaming services. And then they're trying to make it where it is something that you would want. Because DC, I hear, is actually doing a live-action Teen Titans show. And the very popular Young Justice, which they should have never canceled in the first place.
Yeah.
But now they're bringing Young Justice back for a third season. And it's going to be exclusive to this DC streaming service. That and the live-action Teen Titans show. So you know people are going to subscribe to it because they want to see Young Justice. Because Young Justice was a great show.
Right.
And, you know, I'm interested in this live-action Teen Titans show as well. They just cast Robin, by the way. But now this is going to be another fucking streaming service. Like, what
True.
The hell? And then Marvel's going to do theirs, or Disney, rather, which, you know, they have Marvel and they have Star Wars
and
you know, other Disney stuff, and they're trying to get Fox, right? We'll see if it gets through all the regulations and stuff.
Yeah, they've been mad about that stuff.
So,
but, like, Disney will have a lot on their end, whether they get Fox or not. I mean, I see it working out better because...
But why start a new one? I mean, like, now their content's on Netflix. Where now they're pulling their shit off of Netflix so they can start their own service.
I mean, they should leave a limited content on, like, Netflix and stuff like that. But if, you know, if you want access to everything, I can understand that. But I can't see DC being successful. Like, there's certain things that I just can't see being successful.
That's where it's going. Everybody's doing streaming services. It's going to be a streaming service for every damn thing soon.
Well, I already have a la carte TV, so it's fine with me. I'm already on that bandwagon.
Now, I think that, you know, the way it is now, I guess WWE, you know, they have the network, which is obviously a streaming service in its own right. They have the deal with Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now they're doing this thing with Facebook. I mean, you know, who
knows?
They're
going to get stretched real thin.
When their stuff, their TV deal expires with USA and NBC Universal, who knows? Maybe they might try and go to an all-streaming thing, even though I don't think that would be a wise move.
Oh, I don't think so
at all.
To go
off of traditional television, because – even though the streaming thing is doing well, there's still a large number of people who are afraid of streaming devices.
Yes.
And if you are not on regular television, you're going to lose that potential audience, a lot of audience.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, look at the reverse happened for USC. They didn't have a huge – well, they had a huge base, but they didn't have as many people as they have now until they started showing their stuff on free TV or on channels that people readily have access to where they don't have to pay for a pay-per-view every 2 weeks.
Right.
And that's boosted them quite a bit.
Right, except this weekend where they were
except
on free TV
weekend.
on Fox. But, did not get –
But overall, it's boosted them. And I can see WWE having a big problem. If they take it off regular TV, they're going to go down. Like, there's still people that aren't going to buy the WWE network, regardless. They either don't have good enough internet service, and now with this net neutrality thing, it's going to be a big issue.
Now, I'm wondering also with them doing the if they did do the streaming thing, if the money was right, because we know money talks.
It does. Well. Yes, it does.
And the TV rights fees is the biggest thing on their balance sheet by far.
Right.
So the companies are going to continue. I mean, and USA pay them pretty good money for Raw and SmackDown every week. And, you know, because – they're live every week, and they've been pretty stern that they want a live show every week, which is why for the first time in many years they're doing a live Raw on Christmas night, they're doing a live Raw on New Year's, because USA wants the live content, because
right.
As I said, it's more DVR proof having an event that's live than having something that's pre-taped. And now, you know, you look at what Impact goes through, where they do
right.
tape all these shows in the can several weeks ahead,
and find out what happens.
Yeah, the shit's all over the fucking internet, whether you're looking for it or not. Now, I try not to look at the spoilers, but sometimes you find out the shit, and you're not even trying. Like the whole thing with Laura Van Ness winning the Impact Knockouts Championship, I wasn't even trying to spoil it. And just because of her trying to leave the company, the story came out that, oh, by the way, she won the belt, and she's trying to leave, and she's still the champion. And you're like, well, what the fuck? Like, you know what I mean? Now, show spoiled. Now I know who's going to win the tournament before they even played it on TV.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try and stay away from the spoilers. But, you know, so live TV is important to these networks, and they're going to probably put out some big money. So, to me, I think WWE is probably testing the waters with Facebook kind of to make NBCU a little jealous so that they can raise the price of them when the negotiating time comes. They know that there are other entities out there that they could go to that are willing to pay more. So, if you want to keep me, you got to pay the money.
I can't see Facebook being lucrative, considering I, no lie, heard a young kid saying that Facebook was for old people.
But they got deep pockets, though.
They do. They do.
Very deep pockets. I mean, look at Amazon. I mean, like, the founder of Amazon, now the richest man in the world, he's worth almost $100 billion.
Jesus Christ.
He's even more wealthier than Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Even though they said Bill Gates would probably be more wealthy if he wasn't so giving with his money. Because of him being a philanthropist the way he is, and he gives away so much money, that's why he's not as rich as the guy from Amazon. The guy from Amazon is a little more stingy, obviously.
Clearly.
So.
Penny pincher.
Yes. But I saw something that was interesting. Like, who would have thought? He started Amazon selling books out of his fucking house by mail.
Can I
and
tell you?
He's worth $100 billion.
Can I tell you, when Amazon first came out and sold books, I used to buy books from them all the time. I still have my original Amazon account. Like, how crazy is that?
I mean, I've been an Amazon user since 2001. I mean, not day one by far, because they started in, what, 97, 98, whatever it was?
Yeah, 96, 97, somewhere around there. Like, I am a day one person. It's crazy.
But I was pretty early. You know, 2001's not late. I didn't jump on, you know, like most people. I was pretty early in the game there. Like, they took off.
Yeah.
Probably, what, like 06, 07, something like
that? Yeah, in the mid-2000s, mid to late 2000s, I'd say they really did.
It's something, though. So, I mean, these companies obviously have very deep pockets. You know, I mean, just off of this guy's net worth alone, just imagine him offering WWE $400 million contract for Monday Night Raw would be fucking peanuts to a guy worth $100 billion.
Yes, it would.
You know, I mean, it's hard to believe. Like, you're talking about one individual who's got, like, more money than some small countries, which is insane.
That is crazy.
But, so the money's out there. But I think that, you know, when the dust clears, they're probably going to renew the deal with NBCU, and it's probably going to stay on USA, or if not, some other TV network. I don't see them going to an all-streaming service, at least not yet.
Yeah, not yet. It's
maybe 10
always
years
a possibility. Oh, probably before that. With the way technology moves, I'd say before that.
Yeah, but this next TV negotiation for 2019, it's not going to happen.
No.
Too soon.
Yeah, maybe the next negotiation after that.
Right. So, we shall see. So, the Usos did retain the belts. We got super cute Liv Morgan out there being with a lumberjack, along with all the rest of the SmackDown girls, and
tossing each other around.
Very athletic move there by Naomi.
Yeah.
So the women's match is still in progress. We'll give you results somewhere down the road. Who knows?
We'll tweet them out.
Yeah, that's a thought. Because next week is
Christmas
Eve. Right, and then the week after is New Year's Eve. So I don't know. We'll probably be dark for the next couple of weeks. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I might not be doing Christmas dinner until Monday night.
Right.
It's either Sunday or Monday. Like, our plans aren't set yet.
Yeah.
That's always how it goes.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We will keep you posted.
As always.
If not, great year as always. But if we do a episode between now and New Year's, we could do like that best of the year thing.
Oh, there you go. That would be good.
The best wrestlers or whatever. Did you see Star Wars? You're a Star Trek fan. You don't like
Star
Wars.
I'm a Star Trek fan. Correct.
So. See, now that's something else too. CBS with their streaming service, they have that new Star Trek show that you can't watch unless you have that CBS streaming service.
Yes.
Now, isn't that?
Yes. Yes, that is.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Like, everybody has these fucking streaming services, and then they put shows that they know you want to watch, and almost force you to buy their fucking streaming service if you want to watch a show.
There's ways around it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And depending on how it goes, you know it's going to be discounted prices. They're going to have free weekends that you can binge watch. Like, there's ways around it.
Yeah. Now, the new Star Wars movie made a boatload of money, of course. No surprise.
Huge amount.
$220 million over the weekend. I did see it. I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. You know. Certainly a lot of twists. Let's just put it that way. Without spoiling anything.
Okay.
So, sound like watching a wrestling match with a lot
of Jesus. Did Vince McMahon write it?
Well, to a certain degree, because you get, you know,
twists.
You get some twists.
Right. Swerves and curves.
Exactly.
Swerves and curves.
Swerve. That's a very good way to put it. You get a good swerve in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, on that note, we will see you
for the holidays.
Exactly. If not. Wonderful Christmas, Happy New Year, and
be safe, drive safe, take it easy, don't freak out, don't rush around, you know.
Right, all that good stuff.
Yeah, just be safe, so you can come back and join us.
Yes, in 2018. So, for Maris, I am Tony Lane. Oh, did I mention Tom Zenk died? See,
no.
Yeah, Tom Zenk died.
Nobody
knew.
Hear that.
Isn't that crazy? He's been dead since the 9th. And
really?
And found out now.
Wow.
Like, that is some crazy shit. Of course, Tom Zenk, famous for being part of the Can-Am Connection back in the 80s before he left WWE. And then they put Rick Martel with Tito Santana to form Strike Force.
Right.
Remember, Strike Force beat the Hart Foundation to win the tag team belts. That was some funny shit when they won the tag team belts.
What a shame. What did he pass away from?
They didn't really say.
Huh. Hold on.
Only 59 years old, too.
Yeah, that's too young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, another one that passed away far too early.
Yeah, they definitely don't say. That's a shame. That's really a shame. He was young.
Yeah. From what I hear, though, he had a very hard break from wrestling.
Most of them do.
Did not associate
with
anybody from wrestling for many, many years, which is probably why nobody knew he had passed away.
Yeah. That's a shame. That's a real shame.
Yeah. Of course, he had a brief stint there in AWA in its final days and in WCW as well, where he and the late Brian Pillman were the U.S. Tag Team Champions briefly. So Tom Zenk, dead, 59. So, on that
Charlotte.
Note, Charlotte, yes, yeah, still your women's champion. So, see, all the champions have retained other than AJ Styles. Oh, and this gorgeous Kayla Braxton on here.
Yes, indeed. Oh, here we go. Here's the sad interview.
She was like a real announcer, like Kayla Braxton before she came to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's not Kayla Braxton either. Her name is Kayla. No, it's Kayla something. I forget. It begins with a B, though. But it's not Braxton. That's her WWE name. But I saw her on some show. Like, she was like a legit, like, news...
Actual announcer or newscaster.
Yeah.
She is beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't do a bad job.
No.
So, you don't want someone doing a bad job that's doing that job.
Right. And the fact that she...
You can see her extensions. That hairdo's not doing good for her.
Easy on the eyes doesn't hurt.
That's correct.
Who are you talking about?
Natalia? Yeah, Natalia. You can see her tracks. They all have extensions in.
Yeah, they do.
All of them.
Yeah.
But you can easily see them with her hair like that.
Yeah, they need to stop with all the extensions.
They do. But they probably aren't.
Yeah. See, that was one thing I could say about my girl, Tennille. At least she didn't really have extensions.
No.
Was her hair.
Yeah, no, she didn't. A couple of them don't. You can tell Bailey doesn't either. She's just got that little ponytail.
Right. And even April Mendez, AJ Lee, that was her hair.
Yeah, she didn't wear them either.
Yeah. So, what, Natalia's having a nervous
breakdown? I guess.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Well, hopefully she'll have a good holiday, too.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it for us. I'm sure I don't have anything else that I can just stop abruptly.
By the way.
Oh, yeah. Hey, such
oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got any more bad news for us?
Yeah.
Let me pop your bubble a little bit more.
All right. So enjoy, everyone.
Be safe.
Think out loud. The Tony Lane Show.
What kind of world are we living in that this is considered entertainment?
TonyLaneShow.com.